A blessed and happy Thanksgiving to all. May the peace of Christ be upon you and your family and your friends. Today in the United States of America, it is Thanksgiving Day, a legal public holiday. And as our country's national archives tell us, it was on September 28, 1789, that the first federal Congress passed the resolution asking that the President of the United States recommend to the nation a day of Thanksgiving. So a few days later, on October 3rd, 1789, President George Washington issued a proclamation naming Thursday, November 26, 1789, as a day of public Thanksgiving, the first time Thanksgiving was celebrated under the new Constitution. And it wasn't until President Abraham Lincoln's 1863 proclamation that Thanksgiving was regularly commemorated each year on the last Thursday of November. And it wasn't until President Roosevelt signed a congressional resolution in 1941 by which the fourth Thursday in November was established as the federal Thanksgiving Day holiday. Just a little history. But back to George Washington for a moment. The following is Congress's request of George Washington, which prompted him to issue his 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation. And they asked President Washington to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them, that is the people of the United States, an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So what's the point of all this history? The point is that it's important for any nation to know the truth of its historical past and to acknowledge with grateful hearts that any blessings that it has received, including its freedoms, the freedoms that its citizens enjoy, have come from the hands of God. This points us to today's Mass, which, for the Diocese of the United States, is a specific Mass for the fourth Thursday in November, Thanksgiving Day. Its prayers are very rich and focus us on some key themes, which kind of work together to make a pattern of sorts. And here's the pattern. First, there is in these prayers an acknowledgement of the gifts that God has bestowed upon us. Acknowledgement. Second, there is an act of gratitude made to God for the gifts we have received from Him. Gratitude. Third, a petition asking God to open our hearts with concern for others that we may share the gifts we have received. Love for neighbor. And today's opening prayer for Mass serves as a prime example for this pattern of themes. It reads, Father all-powerful, your gifts of love are countless and your goodness infinite. Acknowledgement. As we come before you on Thanksgiving Day with gratitude for your kindness. Gratitude. Open our hearts to have concern for every man, woman, and child, so that we may share your gifts of loving service, in loving service, love of neighbor. And so today, if nothing else, from this celebration, we can zero in on this important spiritual principle that we acknowledge God's generosity and the many gifts He has bestowed on us, our families, and our nation. Next, having acknowledged the infinite goodness of God and all the many blessings we have received from Him, that we thank Him for His kindness with grateful hearts. Then, with gratitude in our hearts for what we have received from such a benevolent God, we ask Him to open our hearts to have concern for our neighbors, so that we may share with them what we have so freely received from God. As part of the winning formula for a fruitful and happy life, and I happen to be blessed with parents that live this way. It's a wonderful example to have parents when they teach their children to be generous. But lest we be remiss, there is one last theme from the prayers for today's Mass that needs to be looked at. And it comes from today's preface, which is made specifically for today's Mass, for Thanksgiving Day. Addressing God, the preface affirms the fact that He has entrusted to us the great gift of freedom. But it also states that this gift of freedom is a gift that calls forth responsibility and commitment to the truth that all have a fundamental dignity before God. We have been gifted by God with many blessings, especially the gift of freedom in the United States. No doubt about it. A quick study of the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Bill of Rights will prove that out, even if they are under attack in many forms and by many foes. This gift of freedom entrusted to us, as the preface states, elicits from us not only a responsibility, but also a commitment to the truth. And in this case, to the truth that every human being has a fundamental dignity before God. Everybody. No one is excluded. This applies to every person, those born, and in all cases, with no exception whatsoever, to those human beings who are unborn. Abortion, which is currently legal in the United States, is a grave violation of God's laws and a heinous crime of barbarism against human life. No doubt about that either. The freedoms we enjoy mandate that we do what we can to stop it. To sum all of this up, that is Thanksgiving Day, the themes on gratitude and the gift of freedom that has been entrusted to the citizens of the United States, I leave you with the words of a saint. The following is taken from an address made by Pope John Paul II at the Baltimore Washington International Airport at the close of his 1995 apostolic journey to the United States. And I remember this, it was 26 years ago, but I remember watching this as if it happened yesterday. In his address, he made the address to the people of America, and this is what he said. Today in our world, as it is, many other nations and peoples look to you, America, as the principal model and pattern for their own advancement in democracy. But democracy needs wisdom. Democracy needs virtue. If it is not to turn against everything it is meant to defend and encourage, democracy stands or falls with the truths and values which it embodies and promotes. Democracy serves what is true and right when it safeguards the dignity of every human person, when it represents inviolable and inalienable human rights, when it makes the common good the end and criterion regulating all public and social life. But these values themselves must have an objective content. Otherwise, they correspond only to the power of the majority or the wishes of the most vocal. We can tell he's prophetic here. He knew what was coming. If an attitude of skepticism were to succeed in calling into question even the fundamental principles of the moral law, the democratic system itself would be shaken to its foundations. We see this happening right before our very eyes. He knew it. The United States possesses a safeguard, a great bulwark against this happening. I speak of your founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. These documents are grounded in and embody unchanging principles of the natural law, whose permanent truth and validity can be known by reason, for it is the law written by God in human hearts. At the center of the moral vision of your founding documents, America, is the recognition of the rights of the human person, and especially respect for the dignity and sanctity of human life in all conditions and at all stages of development. I say to you again, America, in the light of your own tradition, love life, cherish life, defend life from conception to natural death. At the end of your national anthem, one finds these words: "Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." America, may your trust always be in God and in none other. And then the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.